taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
Why do so many people think that government can fix everything? You want your car safer? Well, we'll just get the government to pass a new law. Want someone to clean up your water supply? Government's the answer. Want someone to make sure your baby's formula is good for them? Just ask government. But have you ever noticed how often government screws up what we ask them to regulate? Of course, they never seem to think it's their fault. No, it's always somebody else. All they ask is for you to give them more money, more power, more control, more everything. And they'll take care of it. They'll fix absolutely everything. I wonder, have we reached the point where government is literally fixing the American people into oblivion? Hello there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study. My name is Paul Engel. I'm glad you could join me today. We're taking a look at, what I'm calling the Food Disaster Administration. I know its technical name is the Food and Drug Administration, but once again, we see government making a disaster of pretty much everything it lays its hands on. So let's take a look at this. You know, by now you're all familiar with the baby formula crisis. Oh my God, it's a crisis. And there are several things that haven't brought us to this point. As with the gasoline prices, it's not one thing. It really is one thing that causes it. But we need to take a look at something else here. See, earlier this year, Abbott Laboratories had a plant shut down by the FDA. Now, this happened because 4 children became sick with a bacterial infection. 2 of them died. Of course, everyone freaked out. Oh my God, it's terrible. Now we're going crazy. And the public health authorities encouraged shoppers to avoid buying formula tied to that plant. Although Abbott doesn't even believe there's a link between the illness and its formula. In other words, at least to Abbott, no link has been proven. It's just supposition. Now, nobody wants people getting sick and dying, especially babies. That's terrible. But of all the formula that Abbott Laboratories created out of this plant, you had 4 people get sick, 4 babies get sick, and 2 of them died. So the government, the FDA, shut them down. Abbott recalled the baby formula. And, of course, with all the supply chain issues, this just made things worse. See, it's even more than that, because you think about it. Back when COVID started, a lot of people talked about hoarding toilet paper. Why toilet paper? I have no idea. Granted, I usually have several extra rolls packed in the house, but we remember them the shelves. I remember walking the grocery store, and the toilet paper aisle was empty. But you see, it wasn't just toilet paper that people were hoarding. Parents started hoarding baby formula. So first, you have a great demand for baby formula. Of course, once things started letting up, well, people stopped hoarding the baby formula, and naturally, demand went down. Now that it went down, the logical thing, right? These manufacturers curbed their production. Well, once again, formula demand is surging. Well, we have the supply chain issue, the COVID dip, the aftermath, and the dip of the demand for it, and the shutdown of one of the major baby formula production plants in the United States. There are 3 things that have led to this. But what's interesting is, wasn't the FDA that got Abbott to shut down and recall their baby formula? And the question is, did they have any evidence, any proof that it was actually Abbott's formula that caused these children to get sick? Now, there's one other piece of this puzzle that exacerbates the problem. And that, this one, I don't lay at the feet of government. I lay, well, at least not directly. So according to the CDC, only 1 in 4 babies in 2018 were breastfed for their first 6 months of their life. Now, I remember when my daughter was an infant. Granted, that was a couple decades ago. And our full intention was to breastfeed her, but my wife didn't produce enough milk. We had to supplement with formula. Trust me, I remember. I remember it's like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, driving. I live in the country, so I had to drive like 20 miles to the nearest store that was open 24 hours to buy formula because, well, that's what you had to do. But if the CDC is correct, if only 1 out of 4 children are breastfeeding for the first 6 months, this isn't simply a concern of availability of formula. You see, the problem is, for the first 6 months of a child's life, I believe it's about 6 months, their immune system is kickstarted from the mother through the breast milk. I'm wondering if some of the ongoing illnesses we have has been this move from natural breast milk to a supplement or a replacement baby formula. See, all of these things have kind of compounded. And while I don't lay it all, again, not all at the hands of the feet of government, we do see an issue here where government is taking a situation and making it worse. And I'm not just talking about the FDA shutting down or encouraging the recall of the formula from Abbott, but the supply chain issues we have is in large part the reaction of governments to a disease that has a relatively low death rate. I'm even wondering if the pushed away from breast milk towards formula has not been exacerbated by recommendations from government. See, I look at this and going, you know, each individual piece in itself doesn't cause a problem. But when you add them together, well, now you have a serious issue because you have parents that have become dependent on formula for their children. But they can't get formula for their children. And when they can, the price is going sky high. So, you know, all of these things have joined together to get put us in, again, another situation where government has led to shortages, has led to problems. Now, I'm sure someone out there is going, yeah, but we want the government to keep our formula safe. Well, understand, as I understand it, the FDA doesn't actually approve formula, but they do set requirements for the formula to be considered FDA registered. Nutrition and quality control requirements, things like that. But I want to remind people that that is not a power delegated to the United States. In other words, regulating food and drugs, you look to the Constitution, that is not a power delegated to the United States, meaning, according to the 10th Amendment, doesn't belong to the United States. It belongs to the states or to the people. So the very idea that the FDA is in charge of, or should say be registering approved formula, is a power we never delegated to them. In fact, the legislation that created the FDA, I contend, is unconstitutional. Therefore, it is illegal. It is void. It is empty. It is meaningless. It legally doesn't exist, but there it is. So in 1980, when Congress passed the Infant Formula Act, they told this illegal government agency to enforce those requirements on not only American-made formula, but European formulas that are imported. And again, the importing it from Europe, even though, well, it's not illegal, it's got to get through the FDA registered requirements in order to be imported. So people who are getting their formula from Europe, again, it's got to go through the right channels. And some of them, people have even claimed that their formula has been destroyed by customs. Yeah, they're waiting for it. And then customs comes along and says, oh, doesn't meet certain requirements. And it gets destroyed. While we're in the middle of a shortage. Does any of this make any sense to anyone? So then I stumbled across a report coming from Christiana Zelinsky from the New York Times, noting that baby formula is one of the most tightly regulated food products in the U.S., with the Food and Drug Administration dictating the nutrients and vitamins and setting strict rules about how formula is produced and packaged and labeled. Despite these regulations, or more likely because of them, many Americans are buying European formula. Why? Simple. Because they want something other than what's being regulated. According to Mr. Zelinsky's report, there's a large Facebook group dedicated to European formulas. And parents there sometimes say they prefer the European brands because they give them different options, like formula made from goat's milk or pasture-raised cows. Others talk about the perception that they're higher grade, just higher quality, just because European formula regulations are actually stricter than those in the U.S., which has led to an interesting black market of trying to get European formula into the United States past the FDA regulators, which has now expanded because, well, guess what? The U.S. plants are not able to produce formula at the rate necessary under all of these regulations. Now, again, I agree that we don't want bad baby formula. You don't want formula that's going to harm your child. You don't want formula that's going to kill your child. But I come back to that basic question. Is the federal government the only or even the best way of determining the safety of your formula? Does putting all of your eggs in the one basket of the Food and Drug Administration, does that ensure the safety of your child? I mean, when government becomes the sole arbiter of what is and is not acceptable, we've become dependent on them. Why can't we look at non-governmental ways of validating the safety of formula and allow parents the option of choosing different requirements? Think along the lines of, what was it, Consumer Reports. I don't even know if Consumer Reports is still around, but it was a magazine that refused to take advertising, but would test products and then report on them. So if if we were to extend this to the baby formula model, we might look at it and say, okay, you're looking for a formula that's been reviewed by Consumer Reports. And you could have a lot of different variations, right? You could have one that's maybe higher in protein or higher in calcium, or one that uses goat milk or cow's milk or camel's milk for that matter. And they could be tested and they can be reviewed. And then the parents could be given the information to decide for themselves. See, that's the thing that always gets me, is when we put everything in the hands of government, government decides for us. We never think of it that way, but we are literally giving up our rights, our ability to decide for ourselves, because we're handing it over to government. And when government gets it wrong, well, then we have problems. I found this report. This one came out of the Daily Caller. And they talk about the fact that the Biden administration knew about the formula shortage as early as February. To which my response is, why should I care? See, this is the part that is so insidious about putting things in government control. And I want to talk more about that after the break. But before I do, I want to remind you of a couple things. See, this idea of the federal government being in charge of everything is actually completely 180 degrees away from what our founding fathers created. We're living in a world where everything is upside down and backwards, and we're being told that that is normal, that is right, that's what was created, and it's not true. So this year, I'm traveling the country on what I call my Blessings of Liberty Tour to show the American people that we are not serfs and subjects of Washington, D.C., that we are, in fact, their masters, that we can reclaim the role of citizen, not simply at the next ballot box, but today, how you live your life today. Now, if you want to find out more, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. You'll find out more. I'm still fleshing out the page. So go back a couple times as I'm updating the information. As soon as I book locations, they will appear on that page. So if you want to know if I'm coming near you, check out that page. If you would like me to come to you, to your event, to your group, there's a form at the bottom of the page. You simply fill that out. I will be in touch with you, and we'll see if we can get you on the schedule. Again, that's constitutionstudy.com/tour. To find out more about the Blessings of Liberty Tour and to see how you can help spread those blessings, either by attending or by hosting an event for this tour. Now, also, would you please head to healthycell.com? They help support the Constitution Study. They help bring this program to you 5 days a week. Now, they have lots of different products. They are a leading innovator in nutritional supplements. They have a lot of different formulas, many of them pill-free, and one I like is Focus and Recall. Sometimes you get to the end of the day, and it's hard to pay attention. You find yourself reading the same paragraph three times. Well, one of the ways to deal with that is their Focus and Recall. It's a vitamin supplement designed to boost your short-term focus and your long-term memory, and it's all with a easy-to-use, travel-ready gel pack. So I use them all the time when I get to those days and things just don't work. And as an America Out Loud listener, they'll give you 20% off your first order. So again, please head to healthycell.com. Put together anything you want in your cart. Just make sure when you check out, you use the code OUTLOUD. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud, and they'll give you 20% off your first order.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Surely, if you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're dealing with the question of, why do we expect the government to fix things? I know it seems like an odd question, but we've already been looking at the baby formula shortage and how the government has helped lead to that shortage. Part of their actions have led to that shortage. They've contributed to it. But when we were heading to the break, I noted that the Daily Caller has done a report where they say the Biden administration knew about this shortage as early as February. And my question is, why should that matter? Now, a lot of people say, well, they should have done something. What is the president supposed to do about a baby formula shortage? Think about it. Regulating food and drugs is not a power delegated to the United States, period, much less to the president. In fact, I contend that allowing the federal government to be involved in this is part of what has led to this problem. We have a single agency that has a single set of standards for what should be in your baby's formula. And when they detect something that they think that they apparently, without yet a credible link, decide to shut down a baby formula plant, one of the largest, as I believe, baby formula plants in the country, where's the other option? See, the very idea that people blame Biden for not dealing with this problem shows just how brainwashed, just how conditioned we've become to expect the federal government to take care of everything. It is not the president's job to make sure your baby has formula. It's not even the president's job to make sure that the formula you buy is safe. That's your job. Now, again, we should have, I believe we should have tools and resources, right? I believe you should be willing to maybe pay a bit more to have an independent third party that has tested and certified the stuff, like a UL listing, right? Yes, we've tested this formula and it's okay. It has our seal of approval. But you see, we don't. We've handed it over to government. We expect government to do this. And again, when government is in charge, you have a monopoly. Paul, monopolies are bad. The only true monopoly you have is government. See, yes, these baby formula manufacturers are independent, but they are dependent on the government's rules, the government's approval, in order to produce that formula for you. They're even limited to producing what the government will allow. Now, for those of you saying, well, the president should be doing something. Yeah, this is the president's plan, according to a statement released by the White House. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to get more formula from overseas. Excuse me. Why is it the federal government that's getting more formula from overseas? Why aren't stores getting it from distributors? Why isn't Abbott Labs, that had the plant shut down, why aren't they procuring formula from overseas? Why is it the government that's doing it? Now, the government's also going to crack down on what they refer to as price gouging, which everyone else in the world refers to as supply and demand. See, here's the interesting thing, and this is the part that people get all upset. See, price gouging, that's bad. Well, if there's less supply, why are prices raised? Well, so that the greedy can get rich. Well, that's one reason. Another reason is it limits hoarding. Now, I have no idea what baby formula sells for nowadays. I haven't had to buy baby formula in decades. But imagine, let's just say that a certain size can of baby formula costs $10. And you go and say, ooh, we're running low on baby formula. I'm going to buy 20 cans because it may get scarce. And if it's only $10, somebody will buy up 20 cans and someone else won't be able to get any. Now, there's only two ways of dealing with that. One is to say, well, we're going to make that $10 can $15 or $20. Let's make it $20. So someone looks at it and says, you know what? I want to buy more, but $20 a can is an awful lot of money. And I doubt this is going to last forever. So instead of buying 10 cans, I'll buy 3 cans. I'll buy 4 cans. I'll buy 5 cans, meaning there's cans left over for other people to buy. Now, the only other way to do it is to ration it, to once again have government tell you how much formula you can buy. See, when they talk about cracking down on price gouging, what they're really talking about is government control of the market, government control of the producer, government control of the consumer, telling you how much you can buy. Because if you can't raise the price, then there's nothing to stop people from hoarding. And the only way you're going to get baby formula is if the government institutes rationing. It's a simple matter of, simple logic. It's not that hard to figure out, unless, of course, you work for government. Now, the other thing that the statement included was that the government's going to expand availability for low-income families. Again, we're going to spend more of your money to support families that are not as well off. And again, not through a let's get the direct subsidy, but through the federal government, which is going to suck up about 60 to 70% of the money for their own use before they give it to the poor. This whole scenario is just a spiral into disaster. And then the other thing that I've heard talked about, and I want to talk about this for just a minute, is the fact that the federal government has purchased large quantities of formula that they're sending to the detention facilities on the border. The immigrant holding facilities. And it was like, oh, Americans can't get formula, but they're sending it to the border. Well, listen, if you're incarcerating somebody, if you're holding somebody, if you're detaining somebody with an infant, you are morally bound to provide food, including food for the infant. So while the inherent question of sending the federal government, buying formula to use in their holding facilities, well, it doesn't look good. Honestly, that's not to me the problem. Unless the federal government is hoarding the baby formula to use in those facilities, which I have yet to see any evidence of. So once again, we're dealing with a problem that government helped make, and now people are complaining because government helped make the problem. They don't like the way the government responded to the problem. And we're going to expect government to take away more of our money, and in some cases more of our freedom, to fix the problem they helped make. And then just another reason why I tell people when it comes to political parties, a pox on both their houses, Representative Elise Stefanik is blaming the Biden administration's reaction to something that is not a federal power. And she should know better. She says that the Biden administration was slow to react to the nationwide baby formula shortage. In other words, Elise Stefanik is either just a complete political hack, using this as an opportunity to attack a political opponent, or she believes that the federal government rules over everybody, and everything is a federal government's responsibility, and she's part of it. So why would I trust the Republicans to fix anything when they're just as much a part of the swamp as anybody else? So what is Congress going to, what are the people going to do about this, the Congress? Well, they're going to spend more of your money. They're going to spend $28 million, an additional $28 million to an illegal federal agency. Why? What are they going to do with this money? Well, according to reports on the legislation, they're going to reduce shortages by increasing the staffing at the FDA. Yeah, they want to increase staffing so that they can boost inspections of baby formula, so that it can get the federal government's seal of approval to get onto the market. And certainly, they're going to prevent fraudulent or subpar brands. They're going to protect you from bad actors. Does anyone else find it interesting that the same agency that said encouraged the recall, that has shut down the plant, now wants to get more money to do more inspections to tell what you can have, which baby formulas are most important, you should have? And remember, this has nothing to do with whether or not your child actually eats. See, the FDA wants to make sure that the formula available is of a certain quality. So far, I don't know how well they do that, but if your child is hungry, would you be willing to accept maybe a slightly less nutritional formula as a stopgap? Apparently not if you're in the FDA. I just find it incredibly interesting that the same agency that helped create this problem is getting more funding to help extend the rules and regulations that helped create the problem. Now again, it's not just the baby food. That's just been high on the news lately. The FDA recently put a restriction out on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the COVID vaccine. Now, this one, I understand, is actually a vaccine. This is not the mRNA, quote, you know, gene therapies. This is an actual vaccine. But you see, there are problems. See, the agency has basically said the vaccine can now only be administered to people 18 or older who can't receive the gene therapy. Now, the restriction is because they've seen an increased risk of blood clots, what's referred to thrombocytopenia syndrome. Mispronounced that. It's a blood clotting disorder. But I find it interesting that the same FDA and the CDC who've been promoting the experimental mRNA technology, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, now say we're going to restrict access to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine only to those who cannot take the mRNA. Is there any sign of a conflict of interest there? I mean, certainly the issues with clotting, blood clots, and heart disease and other maladies that have been prevalent with the mRNA technology-based treatments are not lacking. The VAERS system is lousy with them. But now we have the FDA saying, no. We're not going to allow you to take the Johnson & Johnson unless you can't take our preferred mRNA technology. Yeah, so once again, the federal government telling you what you can and cannot put into your body, what is best for you, not based on your medical history, not based on your conscience or your objections. They're saying only if you physically, if you cannot receive the other, our approved, our preferred technology, will you be allowed to take a vaccine that's actually a vaccine. Only if you can't physically become part of the experiment will we allow you to try an experimental vaccine that's actually a vaccine. This is the FDA. But Paul, if we don't have the FDA, who's going to protect us from bad vaccine providers? I mean, how are we going to know? Well, it's very interesting because it was reported back on May 10th that Emergent BioSolutions took steps to conceal problems in the quality of their vaccine production. Now, here's what's interesting. Approximately 400 million doses of COVID-19, quote-unquote, vaccine were destroyed. Now, I guess this might have been an actual vaccine because I think they were producing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Despite the warnings from employees, outside consultants, even FDA regulators that the company's practices were unsafe, this still went on. A government actor doesn't magically make things better, doesn't magically make things perfect, doesn't magically say there are not individuals who should, who will violate the rules, violate the laws. See, the FDA is made up of people. And people can only do so much. People, we're fallen. We make mistakes. And we tend to cover them up because we're afraid. And because we had the FDA that didn't stop this company from having to destroy 400 million doses of contaminated, quote unquote, vaccines. In other words, the FDA was either misled, lied to, snowballed, snookered, or they were just unwilling to push when there was evidence of problems. How is that any different than if you had a private agency doing this? And you said, listen, I'm only going to get my shots from companies that have been approved, that have the seal that says whatever the equivalent of the medical equivalent of the UL says have been inspected, has been tested. Will I pay a little bit more for it? Probably. But then again, you're paying more for it now because all the FDA inspectors are paid for by your taxes. And they're just as human and just as fallible as anybody else. There's a reason why our founders did not put the regulation of food and medical treatment in the hands of the federal government. They left it to the states or to the people. Because they're more accountable. Tell me, who at the FDA is going to be fired for failing to properly oversee this company's production of vaccines? Is anybody? Oh, sure, there'll be some political bloviating. People will stamp their feet and but who's actually going to pay the price for not doing the job they were hired for? My guess is no one. Because they're government employees. And it's extremely hard in this day and age to hold government actors accountable, either for their malfeasance or what is probably here just misfeasance. They weren't actively trying to cover something up. They just didn't completely do their job. But we have no way to hold them accountable. And if you're not going to get fired for not doing your job properly, what's the incentive to make sure you do your job properly? Now it's time to take another break. Before I go, I want to remind all of you, you can hear the Constitution Study live 4 p.m. Eastern Time every weekday on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can hear us on our media players, on our apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. You can find all those links at AmericaOutLoud.com. If you go there, look under shows, you'll find the Constitution Study. You can find all of the reposts of these episodes as they come out. You can also listen to them on podcasts from your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor. Take these pages, take the podcasts, share them with friends, with family, on social media. Help other people find the Constitution Study. Help us as we spread this word of freedom and liberty. Help us as we try to educate the American people that they are not subjects, but free.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're talking about the fact that we put so much trust in government, and we've been focusing on the FDA. And I want to remind all of you, the FDA does not have a legal basis for existence. It does not legally exist. It is regulating food and drugs is not a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, the legislative act that created the Food and Drug Administration was repugnant to the Constitution. According to both Alexander Hamilton and the Supreme Court, that act was void, meaning the FDA doesn't legally exist. I'm not saying it doesn't physically exist, it just has no legal basis. And what is the danger of putting all of this power in the federal government? Well, again, we talked a bit before about there's no accountability. Oh, we talk about accountability. There's no real accountability. No one's getting fired at the FDA for how they handled either the baby formula shortage or the contamination of vaccines at a plant. No one's getting fired for mismanaging that. And now we hear the FDA saying, you know what? We should finally just treat COVID-19 like the flu. It only took them a year to figure this out. I've been saying this since last year. Finally, and again, this is not the official statement of the FDA, but several officials at the FDA, including their commissioner, admitted that COVID-19 is just another respiratory virus, comparing it to the flu. Is it going to be treated that way? I highly doubt it. But this panic over increases in cases proves that government actors, they have no incentive to simply say, yep, it's just a respiratory virus, we have to deal with it. Because they can use the panic to control people's actions. And we've seen them do it. And we have evidence, right? There's a 2018 video that's resurfaced showing a public health professional, Lori Garrett, showing that health experts are well aware that masks are ineffective. I've talked about this. You know, my wife had to go to a new neurologist because her older neurologist refused to see her because she wouldn't participate in a medical experiment. We found a new one, but she requires masks. And I remember telling her at one point, I said, you do realize that all the data shows that these masks are at best between 5 and 15% effective, maybe 40% for the one you're wearing, if it's worn properly. She goes, well, that's better than nothing. I said, really? Do you understand that so you're only inhaling 40% of what I'm exhausting? I'm sorry, 60%. Do the math right, Paul. 60% of what I'm exhausting. A mask is not designed to stop a respiratory virus. But we've been punished. We've been brainwashed into believing that not only must we wear a mask, but my mask doesn't work unless you wear a mask as well. And for 4 years, we have evidence that for 4 years, public health officials know masks do not have a significant impact on a respiratory virus. Yet we still have government officials, including our friend Fauci, who is promoting this idea that you have to wear a mask, or at least you should be wearing a mask, even after he told people that masks don't work. But you see, he's the COVID god. He is science. Remember, he told us he is science. We have to do what he says. Forget everything else. Now, a lot of people have been focusing on the recently suspended and now apparently being reinstated Disinformation Governance Board. But I want to point out that most of the COVID disinformation has been coming not from Twitter, not from people like you and me, certainly not from a lot of the doctors, but from government. See, the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy asked the public how COVID-19 misinformation has affected their health, their likelihood to take a vaccine, and other issues. Wait a second. The misinformation has been coming from you, Mr. Murthy. The effectiveness of masks in contradiction to the science. The safety and efficacy of these quote-unquote vaccines that apparently are not nearly as safe as you claim and not nearly as effective. See, when you put government in charge of making these decisions, they are just as prone to their own agenda as anyone else. But you see, there's almost no accountability because I don't see anybody in Congress attempting to impeach Surgeon General Murthy. If there is one, I'd love to see it. But if he's misled the American people, if he has promoted violating the Constitution of the United States by attempting to control the speech and press of others. Yet there is no impeachment. Why are we trusting people that we have evidence have been lying to us? Well, Paul, they work for government. They're just a nobler person because, you know, they're just doing this too because they love their country. Baloney. A watchdog group has already found an approximately $350 million in payments to, among other people, Anthony Fauci, Francis Collins, and others within the National Institutes of Health. Do you really think this is being done for a noble cause or because these people are getting rich? Now listen, I have nothing wrong with getting rich, but there's a conflict of interest here, folks. Because I want to go back to the story we talked about, the FDA putting, you know, squashing the J&J vaccine in favor of the mRNA-based treatments. And I wonder, could it possibly be because members of the NIH have a financial interest, a profit motive in seeing the mRNA technologies be used over the more traditional vaccine technology? Again, I don't know. I don't have proof, but it certainly doesn't pass the smell test. If people are getting paid for these products that they're supposed to oversee, they're going to be biased based on the products they benefit from. I mean, this isn't rocket science, folks. I'm sorry. You don't become pure as a wind-driven snow because you get a government paycheck. Now, I'm not saying everybody in government is corrupt, but I am saying in this day and age, to get to the upper echelons of our government, you have to question the ethics of the people involved. And when you see millions of dollars in royalties being paid to somebody to oversee, to advise on the use of drugs they're getting paid for, I don't trust a word that they're saying. And I didn't trust Fauci or Collins before I found out they're making money off of this stuff. Now, not all the $350 million went to multiple people for multiple products. Not all of them are related to the mRNA or the COVID stuff. But again, if you are getting paid to promote a product, you expect they're going to promote the product. You walk into a Ford dealership, they're going to tell you everything that's great about Ford and everything that's wrong with Chevy, but they'll never point out what's wrong with Ford and what's great with Chevy. It's the nature of the beast. And this idea that just because you're a government actor, you're again, pure as a wind-driven snow. It's a myth that is dragging us into despotism. Because we found a gentleman by the name of James, was it LeDuc? I think that's how it's pronounced. See, he was a lab director at a lab funded by Anthony Fauci. And we found out that there's reports that he gave the Wuhan Institute of Virology a heads up that the U.S. might be investigating them for its involvement in COVID-19. So once again, we have the man who claims to be science, who claims to be the arbiter of what is true. You find out one of the people in his labs was giving a heads up, an advanced warning of an inspection, of an investigation, allowing them opportunity to contaminate the field, contaminate the information. Are these the people you're going to trust? Are you going to trust them with the decision of whether or not to become part of a medical experiment? Of whether to take an mRNA-based treatment or a traditional vaccine? With whether or not your baby formula is safe? And think of all the things that the FDA and these other actors are involved with. Government is not designed to keep you safe. Go back to the Declaration of Independence. It says to protect these rights, governments are instituted among men. They're there to protect our rights, not to protect us. The 10th Amendment says a power not delegated to the United States nor prohibited by the states remain with the states respectively or with the people. There's a reason why governments are designed to do specific limited things. It's because in many ways they're a necessary evil. Let's face it, if we could govern ourselves, we wouldn't need others to govern us. But we're human. We need laws to punish evil people, not punish good people, to punish evil people. But you see, government has expanded beyond that, from punishing bad actors to regulating every moment of your life. Rather than being there to protect our rights, to give us the make sure that we have that we can exercise our liberty as we see fit, that we can express ourselves as we see fit, that we can protect ourselves with the best tools possible. Government claims the authority to protect us, and from that to regulate us, and regulate freedom and liberty into oblivion. This is what comes from asking government to do a job it was never designed to do: protect the American people. Yes, we delegate to the United States the power for the common defense, to defend the states in general, not you individually, not your personal safety. Because in order for government to protect you in your life as you lead it day by day, they must be involved in your life day by day. In fact, not just involved, they must be in control. They must be able to tell you how to live your life. And as recent events have shown, when you put all of your eggs in that one basket, they get broken. Because all it takes is one government actor to drop the ball, to be willing to corrupt themselves for their own personal gain, to watch that basket fall and your freedom and liberty to be destroyed. The last 2 years have been a classic example of how this one-size-fits-all, government control everything, has destroyed our lives. The reports of increased use of alcohol and drug abuse, the learning failures of children from being locked out of schools or being kept behind masks, the health aspects of denying treatment with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine while promoting experimental treatments, experimental prophylactics that have their own risks that no one has bothered to check out yet, not in detail, that we then find out are not nearly as effective as we were promised. All of this comes from a singular voice telling you what is and isn't true. Is anyone there therefore surprised that this singular voice that has spent 2 years telling you how to live your life wants the ability to determine what you will and will not hear as true? Benjamin Franklin, writing as Silas Do-Good, said, "Without freedom of thought, there could be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech." Do you want the people that help contribute to the baby formula shortage, to the separating of families, to allowing people to die alone in hospitals because they were afraid that people who had already been exposed might be exposed to COVID, that have getting money while promoting certain products, the same people who are promoting these experimental mRNA vaccines are the ones overseeing it. Do you really want them to have the authority to tell you what is and isn't true, to determine what is and isn't disinformation, and to regulate that? They have had their taste of power. They've had a glut of power. And we warned you that they would not be satisfied. And here they are. The people that we chose to represent us. From Biden to members of Congress to the members of our state legislatures and our state executives. We have chosen them. They are our fault. If you want liberty, people must be allowed to speak, even if you don't like what they're saying. We must bring this information to light so that people can make informed choices. And if you want wisdom, you must allow contradictory thoughts. Because if your assumptions, if your thoughts are never challenged by another possibility, you never learn, you never grow, you stagnate. You become like the Dead Sea, where the water comes in, but since it never moves out, it never recycles, it's never exposed to anything else, it becomes stagnant, putrid, and dead. Is that what you want for America's future? Now, please do me a favor. Make the Constitution Study and America Out Loud your daily stops for the latest news and happenings. Let's do our part. Let's find this information. Let's share it. Share it with me, and I will present it to the audience. Share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, whatever you're finding. Help other people to see what is going on. Use that freedom of speech to enhance public liberty. Use your freedom of thought to expand wisdom among yourselves, among others. And the only way that happens is if we all do our part and share. Share our wisdom, share our knowledge, and share the blessings of liberty, both for ourselves and for our posterity.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.